It's the economy, stupid. With that homespun only from the mouth of a good Louisiana boy, political strategist and Iberville Parish native James Carville distilled the 1992 presidential election into a soundbite, reminding campaign workers what really was on the voters' minds and helping to propel then-Governor Bill Clinton to the presidency. It's the economy, stupid. In many ways, the talking point has not changed. Even with 25 years of pretty much consistent market growth, even with better awareness of the problems of our brothers and sisters around the world, even with a political environment that week by week attempts to mine a new low in purpose and integrity and decorum, it still seems it's the economy, stupid. The single issue focus makes sense in many ways. We have to survive. Money and jobs help with that. We like to feel secure and untroubled. Increases in investments and bottom line speak to that. We are not single issue voters, though. Cannot allow the amount on the paycheck to amount to our self-worth. Have no verse that might makes right. This Sunday we ask, if it is the economy, stupid, what does that economy look like? In fact, Jesus asks this of us. Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you are lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. If we can equate wealth with morality from time to time, how much more in Jesus' day? In an economic system of resources limited to this plot of land and that olive grove, those who had were even more assuredly in control. Jesus here then does something revolutionary, channeling the consistent message of the prophets to be of care to the weakest, to the widows and orphans, to be about the work of justice, and challenging his listener to go even further. There's no bias against the rich here. Jesus is said to look at this man lovingly. But there is a demand. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. The morality hierarchy here is flipped. The poor have fewer distractions, more need to trust. That is the sense to seek, to not be possessed by your possessions, as it is often put. The self-assurance through these comforts is too much for this man, going away saddened, an emotion we have to believe Jesus felt as well. So the little, the weak, the humble, these are the aspirations for a Christian. But in this flip, Jesus doesn't set an economic threshold only below which it's possible to follow him. Yes, he challenges this man, but we also see Jesus in the company of the more well-to-do from time to time. Think Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, certain women in the gospel, Zacchaeus. They're not disqualified. They just can more easily be self-satisfied. That's what Jesus gets at with his camel through the eye of a needle. All things are possible with God. Even the rich can be saved. That's what he's telling his shocked group of disciples. Even the rich can be saved if they are free, if they are generous, if they find those daily opportunities to truly be concerned for neighbor, to truly trust. And I think St. Rita is a perfect place to have such an economic reflection. When people ask me about our parish, I quickly get to my highest selling point. We're a microcosm of New Orleans. Uptown and Girttown, Xavier and Dominican, Notre Dame Seminary, St. Rita School, Audubon Boulevard, and Audubon Street. We have chosen, each of us, to be here. Obedience notwithstanding, I know that I have. A place in between, a neutral ground, a fulcrum, presenting opportunities and challenges to us, knowing that the meek inherits the earth and the rich can still be saved, all through the gift of faith, through Jesus' quiet, clear call, through life-giving grace and life-altering conversion in the sacraments. There's no lip service, there's no towel service here either. No, just our kind or we're happy where we're at. God wants all of us. God wants all of us. As a priest, my economic theory is a bit counter to the norm. We have very little economic incentive for advancement, no other job to seek or golden parachute to await. My economic theory then is that this place may be a space of encounter, perhaps the unique place in our lives. Our parish picnic last week hopefully reflected all of that back to us. So too does this quote from the founder of St. Vincent de Paul Society, Blessed Frederic Ozanam. A quote, I find myself regularly digging up, a quote with which I'll conclude this morning. Only one means of salvation remains. That is, that in the name of charity, Christians interpose themselves between the two camps, that they fly over them, going from one side to the other doing good, obtaining many alms from the rich and much resignation from the poor, bringing presents to the poor and words of gratitude to the rich, getting used to looking upon one another as brothers, infusing them with a bit of mutual charity, and this charity paralyzing, stifling the self-interests of both sides, lessening the antipathies day by day, the two camps will rise up and destroy the barriers of their prejudices, throw away their angry weapons, and march to meet each other, not to battle, but to mingle, embrace, and become one sheepfold under one shepherd. This is the type of economy, stupid. May it so be in this place of challenge and comfort, our place.